is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going. This is the section of the podcast where we go over what's going on in the nerd world. Usually we start out with DC because they don't have a lot going on, but I think we're going to switch it up. We're going to talk a little bit about Marvel, but I think and we're going to just like sort of run through it. I think the brunt of this conversation is going to be about DC news that we got this past week. One thing that I am excited about, I know it's hard to get excited about MCU stuff, but I'm so excited about Ant-Man.
Me too.
I am. Yeah. And I can faithfully say that you and I have always sung high praise for the Ant-Man franchise. When everyone else was oh, those movies suck. Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Hey there. Now these movies are so bad.
Kermit the Frog and all his friends, when they talked about how much they sucked and how they were just too jokey, you and I have always sung praises of that franchise. And so I'm really excited about this one. Jonathan Majors, also one of my favorite actors of all time.
Yeah, dude, I got like a stupid man crush on him.
Me too. It's like sometimes before I send my wife a text message, I have to check myself. It's like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, is this too much? Yeah.
Like him, Jonathan Majors and Michael B. Jordan just put out a new poster for Creed 3, and they're both on it, and they're both super buff. And I'm like, jeez. I almost said to my wife, like, man, look at these hot dudes. But the real text message was like, I saw it in the morning and my wife was gone at an appointment or something. And I said, this poster made me put down my second donut. It's like, I was eating a donut. I was about to, I picked up a second donut. I was going to eat it. And I saw it. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Putting that down equals
small steps.
Yeah, they talk about Jonathan Majors' diet and that, and he was like, dude, it's stupid. Don't do this to yourself. Yeah.
He got kind of excited about it because he was like, you know, he's like, well, I had to do it. Hell yeah, I'm gonna talk about it.
Like, yeah,
I didn't go through all that for nothing. I'm not doing that. All that to say, Jonathan Majors says that there is no similarities between He Who Remains and Kang in the MCU, which I'm really excited about.
Except for their face and the actor.
Except for they're both black.
Yeah.
Does racism still exist in the future?
Well, because I was wondering, like, I loved when he played He Who Remains. So I was interested as like, is he just going to be the same character? Like, oh, hey, I'm still alive, you know?
Right.
But he's going to, I'm glad that he's going to have sort of a distinction as far as how he acts. And I wonder if that's going to carry over to other movies.
With seeing the way he, because they're not going to kill Kang in this movie. There's no way.
No.
Right?
No.
Well, maybe they will. But
and then different Kang will pop up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's way
He would be dumb to not accept that role. Hey, right. Jonathan, we have this role where you can probably do it as long as you want.
Yeah. You've died. You're going to be Kang. You died in this one. There's another person that looks just like you. Like,
every check is in the millions. You're good.
But they definitely picked him, obviously, there because they were like, who has a super fucking wide range?
Wide range, up and coming actor. I mean, they snagged him at like a, he was already going up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They got him at, speaking of Mickey Rourke, they yeah. did the opposite. Mickey Rourke was like, they got him when he was cheap.
He was at like, he was outside of Starbucks.
Yeah. I think they renegotiated his contract after The Wrestler and,
The Wrestler was good.
Sin City.
Yeah.
Those didn't come out nearly around the same time, though. But anyway.
Within that 10-year span, he did some good movies.
That, and then he was in Spun. He played a really great meth cook.
Yeah, he wasn't playing.
Have you ever seen Spun?
He wasn't playing. Yeah, I have. He wasn't playing, man.
That's a hard watch.
That is a hard watch. If you watch it at home, let us know what you think about it. It's sad. Yeah.
Speaking of sad.
I'm just excited about Jonathan Majors. So if they say Jonathan Majors walked down the street and said and gave someone a high five, that I would report that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan. So get ready.
He
for
seems
that for
like
the next
he doesn't touch
years.
People though.
Yeah, germaphobe. I get that too.
I mean, maybe he just maybe too anxious. He seems like an anxious guy. I know his brother, so I'll just ask
him. Yeah, that's why we like him so much, because Simon's very good friends with his brother. Speaking of Jonathan Majors, the Marvels will reportedly possibly have a teaser spot at the Super Bowl.
That's the best place to show that.
Yeah. I wasn't going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm probably not going to watch it. Not for the Marvels. Maybe.
And, like, I'll be excited about the movie. I'm just saying, like, you know, people are going to be like, oh, they waste all that money to watch.
Well, the cool thing about the internet is that as soon as it drops on and the Super Bowl, they put it on Twitter. So I don't have to watch the Super Bowl. I can just instantly watch, because we're gonna get the Flash trailer too. We got we got to get that Ezra Miller redemption arc. We have to see what's going on with
that. So I didn't see the whole thing. Speaking of that, I didn't see the whole thing, but apparently the guy that heads DC right now, of course he's gonna say that he's like, oh, it's really good.
James Gunn. Yeah. Yes. He said it was the best superhero movie he's ever seen.
Nah.
And he said that. And he did Guardians of the Galaxy 1, 2. He did the Suicide Squad. He did three of the best superhero movies ever.
Yeah. Well, maybe he doesn't like his own work.
Yeah, that's true. I can relate to that. But also maybe he realizes that, like, they're doing a Flashpoint scenario and he's like, You gotta see that. I need you to go watch that movie for everything else to make sense. So
I'm sure it's fine. I never disliked, God, dude, I cannot remember names.
Ezra right Miller.
Now. Yeah, I've never disliked Ezra Miller. I thought he was fine as the Flash before, as Barry Allen. So
he was just fine, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought it was kind of funny. But you didn't get any background on him, which is really the disappointing thing with that character.
Except for the hot dogs.
Yeah, it would have been way funnier. Did we already say that? If instead of putting it in his pocket, her pocket, if he had put it in her mouth?
Well, he did. After we watched it, we talked about it. Yeah. So people are like, you can't, and I get this. I 100% agree. People are like, Ezra Miller is not the only person that worked on that movie. You know, you have two Ezra Millers actually worked on that movie. One of them's evil, the other one's not. Yeah, they should just spin it like that. Be like, hey, Dark Flash is in this movie, and that was the Ezra Miller that was in Hawaii terrorizing everyone.
He was just a super method actor.
Yeah. Our support against the Flash movie isn't really against the Flash movie. I have no problem. I saw all the X-Men movies in theaters, and I hate all of them. So it's nothing against the actual act. It's just, he was terrorizing people and, like, breaking into people's houses and things. Like, he was doing some weird stuff, man.
Yeah, he was like a natural disaster.
Yeah. Am I gonna see it? Of course I'm gonna see it. We have a show. The show must go on. But I don't want to. Yeah, I'm gonna let them know. Ezra Miller, they aren't welcome here.
Hey, well, speaking that's of very tolerant of you for someone you don't like to use
their appropriate pronouns.
Yeah.
Yeah, I accidentally didn't use it in a tweet that I made and got corrected real quick. So, and it's just like accident.
Yeah, you're not nothing malicious.
Yeah. Which I was like, oh yeah, for sure. That makes sense. My bad. Speaking of my bad, Hulu's Hitmonkey will be renewed for season 2, but will no longer be branded as a Marvel series. That kind of seems like a slight.
That's weird.
So, like, it was successful enough to get us round 2, but we don't want it. We don't want to tie it to us.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Did you watch season 1 of Hitmonkey?
No, I did not.
I watched the first episode. It was entertaining, but how many of those shows do you watch? You know what I mean? That's kind of like shock value, humor. I only have in my old age, I have a smaller tolerance for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm good on most of those. Like, I don't care for Marvel animated TV shows, just haven't struck it with me, unless they're for kids.
This like, is I like kids, and
yeah I like the like regular cartoons that usually that are more mature.
You're saying unless it's for kids, because the kids ones are entertaining. I agree.
Yeah, but the ones that are supposed to be, like you said, edgy or whatever, the MODOK series, I never watched that. It looks stupid. So
it's not bad, but it's also you've seen those shows. Like, if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
So I can understand why they wouldn't brand it a Marvel show.
Yeah.
because it's just like every other show that's like that, except they're like Marvel skin.
Yeah, you know, Harley Quinn is the exception, and that's not Marvel, but Harley Quinn is an entertaining show.
Yeah, as we said, yes, it is entertaining, but it kind of gives me a headache.
Yeah. And everyone listening will be like, oh hell, here it comes, Lex is on the DC dick now.
Well,
since we're talking about Marvel, James, let me Gunn tell you about started, Harley Quinn
started cutting the checks.
Yeah, right. Me and James, we go way back, so
the show's great, everything they
I
do
call
is
him,
great.
I call him James Pistol.
That's I call him JJ. His middle name's not even start, it doesn't even start with a J, but I call him JJ. It's a nickname.
JJG.
It's an inside joke. Speaking of inside joke, this is funny. You got me on the TikTok. Marvel Studios has announced Look Out for the Little Guy, an in-universe MCU book. It's a Scott Lang memoir. It's going to be released in real life. I thought it was funny because in the trailer, we get like a Scott Lang in Scott Lang fashion. He wrote a book. Why not? I feel like I would do that if I was a part of this, like the low man on a superhero totem pole, and I was a part of all of these adventures. Yeah, I would write a book.
I love the idea that they have to do something to make money.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because like Thor goes off and goes on space adventures. Iron Man's a family are billionaires. Everyone else goes to real life. And then Scott Lang is just like,
what do I do? I was a security.
I used to work at Brahms. What do I do now?
Baskin Robbins. Nobody knows what Brahms is, except for people in Texas.
I apologize, guys. If you should go to Brahms, if you
from
can.
From the farms to our store, only Brahms gives you more.
I'm getting that tattooed on me. I'm itching for a tattoo on me. But yeah, so, and to speak on how Simon got me, I posted it on TikTok because, you know, content is...
Everything is scarce
nowadays. So I thought it was interesting enough to make a video, and someone was like, in my video, I was like, I want to buy it because I'm interested in what's on the inside. And Simon cracked the case and he said, paper. On the inside.
Paper is on the inside. the only thing that I have thought about that kind of threw me off is I'm like, damn, I would hate to be like the person that wrote that, because obviously Paul Rudd didn't write that book.
He even said that in like the trailer. He was like, so go and pick up this book that was clearly written by me. And then it like goes on to a thing.
So I was thinking, I was like, damn, so we're going to have like these ghostwriters that like everybody's going to think, oh, Paul Rudd, but this is so funny. Paul Rudd's so funny. Yeah. Which he is. Very charming fellow. But, you know.
I agree. But the thing, I look at ghostwriters like this, and they probably don't even, they're probably not like this. But they're introverts. They don't want to be known for their writing.
They're interns. That's what they are.
AI generated.
We were talking about Animorphs.
I'd like to get into that. So go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm just gonna finish this thought.
Yes.
Just speaking of ghostwriters. So when you asked me about that the other day, so K.A. Applegate is a creator, or whatever, but she used a fuck ton of ghostwriters because she was putting out a book. Scholastic was putting out an Animorphs book every month. It's crazy.
I didn't realize it.
Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead.
And I don't know if I'm going to buy this book. I'll go to a Barnes & Noble, sit down, get me a coffee, and thumb through it. That's really what I'm going to do.
It's a flip book of him getting bigger.
It would be interesting if the font got bigger with every page. And then at the end, it's just like the end on the last two pages. I can appreciate lazy creativity like that.
Yeah.
Wolverine PS5, the game that's coming out from Insomniac. A lot of people are excited about it. I'm excited about it. It will reportedly avoid any links to the Fox X-Men movies to stand on its own. I mean, I think they said that's one of their biggest blocks right now. It's like, we're trying to systematically put out this game to where it cannot have any relation to those old X-Men movies, which I love that.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Good job.
I hate those movies, but we've said it before. X-Men Wolverine Origins, the game, was the best X-Men movie that ever came out.
It's so good. I saw a retrospective the other day, because that's what I do when I do my toy photography, is I turn something on YouTube and it's some nerd that just talks to me about some video game for like 3 hours. Anyway,
if you're listening to that, we should be that nerd for you. For you.
Yeah. 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 If you're doing toy photography, just put us on and don't listen, because that's what I do. But at any rate, they were talking about that game and I was like, damn. In fact, they even said, sidebar, about that game, that Gambit, they came up with Gambit being in there.
Mm.
Gambit was going to be in the game because of them. And then they say, of course, there's not like a proof, but he wasn't in the original script that they got, which is what a lot of the game is based on, the first draft of the script that they got.
I could see that, because
and so he's they
random
said,
as hell in the movie.
Yeah, and so they were like, yeah, especially the way he shows up in the movie. It's like a 10-second fight. It's in an alleyway or something.
And it's the John Carter from Mars guy.
Yeah. What is that, Taylor Kitsch? Anyway.
Yeah, low budget Dumel.
Which is a low budget. Who is he? It's like two
Chris
down.
Bond.
Anyway, they said that Fox, after they put him in the game, they must have put him in and then made him look like Taylor Kitsch later. Barely.
Barely, yeah, barely. He barely looks like him. He didn't have a stupid, like, fedora or whatever he had in that movie.
He just had, like, a weird plastic Lego head hairdo.
Yeah.
But they said, anyway, after that they put him in the game. So, hopefully, this will be good.
So, it's going to have a... From what I've heard, it's going to have a... It's not completely open world like Spider-Man, which makes sense. I don't necessarily need it to be completely open world, you know. Yeah,
open world gets a little old after a while.
It works for Spider-Man because Spider-Man can traverse all of that land like super fast, and even then they have fast travel in different like areas of New York, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's going to be closer to God of War, how it's open world but it's still sort of like nudges you where to go.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that as being a fan of, you know, God of War.
Yeah, I like the new God of War, how it has kind of the hubs. Like, you have the Lake of Nine, mm-hmm. but it's still, you know, pretty closed off.
Yeah, it doesn't... God of War Ragnarok doesn't... I don't want to explore. Like, I have the ability to go and do some, like, side quests and stuff. Like, I don't really want to just, like, dick around as Kratos.
Yeah. No, it's not in the missions. Character, really.
Yeah, I'm only going to this place because I have a mission for it. And so mm-hmm. that's why I think it's going to be more mission-driven, which can work really well. I don't remember. I think the Wolverine Origins game was super linear. Like, it just did whatever came out.
Yeah,
every PS2 game. I'm excited. Speaking of excited, Marvel Studios' Wonder Man, the Disney Plus series, will start filming at the end of March, this March, which is crazy because Armor Wars was announced earlier and it's not going to film until the end of the year.
Yeah, they had to renegotiate for Don Cheadle.
Yeah, and then Yaya was like, yo, if I want to be a Wonder Man, I need that shit to come out now. I got bills to pay. Such a waste. I love him so much. He's another one of those actors that I'm like, he's so good.
Who?
Yaya, team.
We talked about this last time. It's like, the name doesn't ring a bell, but I remember...
He played Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen HBO series.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Black Manta.
Yeah. Yes.
He's playing Wonder Man. Which seems like a waste, because Wonder Man
is
like
they?
A joke character, but... Oh, I know why you're saying now, Dether, but... I'm excited to see it. Our friend Dustin loves Wonder Man, and I went to him first. Like, I don't care about Wonder Man at all. But I hit him up as the only Wonder Man fan that I know. I'm like, how do you feel about it? And he was excited. Because he loves Wonder Man and he thinks that this guy's a very good actor. So he was excited to see what they do. And, you know, if the world's only Wonder Man fan is excited, all of the like hardcore alt-right dudes that are mad that Wonder Man is black now, they don't matter.
Yeah, what's funny is I remember showing him. So Marvel Legends is coming out with a Wonder Man action figure. It's kind of a retro one. I was like, hey, dude, they're doing it. And he was like, the worst costume. I'm like, you mean he's wearing a jacket? Yeah, it's not a very cool costume. I figured
Wonder Man's not that cool.
Yeah, I was like, I figured you would still be excited that they're acknowledging his existence. But
yeah. Speaking of acknowledging existence, Sony Pictures is back. They said, don't forget about us. We got movies. We held Spider-Man. Don't forget it. We can do it. We can do whatever we want. The president, Catherine Pope, says that an upcoming Spider-Man series for Amazon is a huge focus for the company. I don't know. I didn't think they were doing it on Amazon. I thought they were doing it on... I have no idea.
What is this? Silk?
I think it's Silk. They didn't say specifically, but I think it's Silk. Mm. Silk is an okay character that I really didn't pay much attention to. I think she's fine.
Peter Parker thinks she's fine, too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, her superpowers are Peter Parker erections, is what her main superpowers. I think if they do a show successfully, and Amazon so far hasn't missed superhero content-wise, if they do a show successfully on there, yeah, I'll take it. We're going to confirm this right now that Drax is going to die in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I think he's going to get married to Mantis.
No, I think he's going to get smoked. Like split in half, very, very dramatic way.
Storybook.
Yes, he's going to, you know, pop out storybook. Dave Bautista said that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is the storybook ending for Drax. He doesn't want to ever come back. It's what he said.
Yeah.
I think he's tired of it. He has to sit. He's getting older, and he has to sit in makeup for 13 hours to film anything. And he's like, it was a good ending. Why would I ever come back to do that? Like,
well, also, they did make Drax like this sad character into like the dumbest character in the MCU.
Dumbest character, yeah. And Dave Bautista himself has proven that he's actually a really good actor, man.
Yeah.
Dude's got some range.
Yeah, he was, I mean, even in little parts, he was really great in just his presence. It's like he has this kind of intellectual look as this huge dude.
As sometimes. This giant bully. Well, like even in Knives, or not Knives Out, Glass Onion. He had a small role in that. He didn't play anybody like super sophisticated or anything. He played a douchey alt-right character. But he pulled it off.
Yeah, it makes sense. But
if you can pull off those kind of characters, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, and he was good in Blade Runner 2049.
What's good in Blade Runner? I heard he was good in this new M. Night movie, even though it's very M. Night. I heard he was good in it.
I heard it was one of the best, and I didn't even know he was coming out with another movie, and it said this was like one of the most coherent and best M. Night movies that had come out in a while.
Yeah, we gotta check that out. I'm not sad. I don't like the way they did Drax. I think it was a huge waste to use Batista in that role and make him like so dumb and sort of like laughable character, gag character.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm glad that he's moving on. Speaking of David Batista, he said that he would love to be a part of the new DCU following, you know, everything he said about this being his final MCU role. Who would you cast him as? Fan cast. I hate fan cast, but
I would cast him as that dude in Batman the Animated Series when Batman goes with Ra's al Ghul and he has to fight that assistant guy without a shirt on but still a cowl, which is like the weirdest look. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. A lot of people said Bane because Batista was like, I don't want to do that, man. Like, I don't want to, you know, if you're going for a Bane role, like Tom Hardy got crazy buff and like, he's like, I don't want to do that anymore in my life. I became an actor so I didn't have to stay in shape for wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, I want to act. I don't want to do that. I can't physically do that. I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm thinking Lex Luthor. Like animated series, you know, animated series Lex Luthor had sort of that brown skin.
Yeah, yeah. He was ambiguously brown. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Every time I say he was black, everyone's like, God damn it. No, he wasn't, motherfucker. He was the whitest man in America.
How dare you say that to a clearly black man?
How dare you say the successful person was black, you bitch? Yeah. So I'm like, yo, he should be Lex Luthor, man.
That would be cool.
Put him in some armor, CGI armor. He didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he has the face of Dave Bautista doesn't scream.
Yeah.
Lex.
Yeah. A lot of people are saying Hugo Strange, like the scientist or the guy over Arkham.
I could see that because at one time he is Batman, like he puts on the costume or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, he had that Blade Runner look where he has like the
glasses. Little tiny glasses. Yeah.
I can see that. I think Lex Luthor would be cooler though, man. Like, and I only say this because Drax was such a limiting role. And I feel like you said, you don't see him as Lex Luthor. So,
well, just his face. Like, physically, the likeness is imagine that.
Maybe give him that role and then, like,
see what happens.
We give it to Jesse Eisenberg last time, man.
That's true. That's true. I mean, he's a great actor. I think he's a good actor, and I'd give it to him. I'm just saying, like, he's got that, like, punch in the face too many
times. He's got a grizzled more like Lex Luthor's not a fighter at all.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you, but I just think
maybe that makes sense for that character, though, as someone, a smarmy bastard that gets punched in the face a lot.
And I just think that as a representative of Dave Bautista myself, he was on a late night show 2 weeks ago that said he's done a lot of roles so far. He never wanted to be The Rock. He never wanted to be all these things. He just really wanted to act. Like, that's his dream as a kid.
Yeah.
And they were like, what would you do? And he was like, the one role that has escaped me is like a rom-com. And he was like, maybe I'm not handsome enough. No one asked me to do rom-coms. But he's like, I feel like I'm pretty funny. He's like, no one has asked me to do it. And I'm like, yeah, he looks rough, but I think Dave Bautista is a good enough actor that he can pull off a rom-com.
Wasn't he in a rom-com with Johnny? He was in
a comedy.
In Stuber?
he was in Stuber. But he wasn't, I don't know, it was a rom-com. But I don't know. I love Dave Bautista. I think, and a lot of people love Dave Bautista because his wrestling career. I don't give a shit about wrestling. I just think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Like, surprising.
I definitely don't care about his wrestling career.
Yeah. And not to, like, I feel like The Rock is The Rock always, you know, in every single role that he plays, he's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But I feel like Bautista is actually an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And John Cena is like right under that. John Cena's pretty good too.
Yeah. Cena's pretty good. Watching John Cena act, and I don't care about wrestling, but I just hated like the jorts thing.
Yeah, and you kind of have to put John Cena in specific roles because he was funny in that Amy Schumer movie. So funny in that.
Trainwreck. I mean, yeah, he was great.
When I saw him in that, I was like, this guy might make it. Like, he might make it. He's really funny. But then, like, Peacemaker really sold me on, like, damn, he's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I have no affiliation with wrestling outside of the NWO era. Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah. The highlighted.
The top. I bowed out at the top.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast, we are reviewing a book titled Grimm, written by Stephanie Phillips, art and cover by Flaviano, which we talked about. Jessica Haro is dead, but her journey has only just begun. Discover the world of the afterlife, where Jessica has been recruited as a reaper, tasked with ferrying countless souls to their final destination. But unlike the rest of the Reapers, she has no memory of what killed her and put her into this predicament. In order to unravel the mystery of her own demise, she'll have to solve an even bigger one. Where is the actual Grim Reaper? From acclaimed writer Stephanie Phillips, who wrote Harley Quinn, and fan favorite Flaviano. I love him from his name. I mean, yeah. Jesus. How do you? You only have one name? You don't have a last name? Flaviano comes a bold new he's vision. He's an orphan. All right. He lives at the Xavier School for Gifted Mutants, and his mutant ability is illustrating very well. Comes a bold new vision of what comes after and the nature of death itself. I want to tell you, before I even ask you what you thought about it, I always think, like, man, I wonder what Simon's going to think. And when I first started getting into it, I was just like, I disappointed him twice. Like, last week was a very realistic sort of world. And I was like, damn, I disappointed him twice. But then I got into it myself and I was like, I don't really care what Simon thinks. I kind of like this.
I don't remember from week to week what we read. So,
public domain last week.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because I wasn't kidding. I really couldn't remember.
Going in, Grimm issue number one. Starting out, you're getting a vibe for it cover wise. I always want to know what you think when I send it to you.
Yeah, if I could judge a book by its cover, this one wins.
Yeah, okay, good. Good. Let's get into it though.
And it's so simple. Like the covers are really great. I mean, it's like amazing artwork, but I love just the contrast with like the white lettering and shit. Like it's great. So yeah, let's jump into issue one. I love this because it reminds me so much of like Ghost.
Yeah. Which that's how it was with issue number one. I was like, oh, this is like this is Ghost.
Yeah. And which that movie gives me nightmares still because of like weird like devil shadow thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like you know. But yeah, this first part when you see the wreck and he just like stands up and he's walking around, I was like, oh, this motherfucker's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I love there's some really good, this is very musical based. And I like that they have the Blue Oyster Cult, like Don't Feel the Reaper.
You can almost ignore that completely and it still works as a narrative. And works as a decent, as a good story. Not spoiler alert on my opinion on it. But if you have an appreciation for that music, it adds like a layer. It adds a layer to it.
There's some funny things I didn't notice. I didn't really look at, you know, in this car wreck, what this blood-stained keychain was. It says, fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah, I didn't notice that either.
But yeah, we have this character dies, essentially. Okay, but we're not going to go panel by panel. What I appreciate is like, okay, we have this theme. We understand this guy's probably dead. We don't know for sure. But we're immediately introduced to this other character that has like this sickle or scythe.
And a thick bottom.
She's a thick lady.
You win, Boom Studios. did you write a book for me?
Chef's good.
I'd be distracted.
The first thing we notice about the scythe though is that it's almost like a lightsaber scythe. And I was
it's energy based, yeah.
I'm like, all my Death Scythe, like Gundam love, right here. Love it. Very cool.
This book had a lot of those notes for me, and this was one of them immediately. I was just like, okay. Because whether you know typical like Grim Reaper stories, traditional wise, you have cartoons that we kind of grew up with, Grim and Mandy, you have Reapers and Bleach. Like you get this sort of general vibe. And this... You think it's one thing, but it's not. And I really appreciate that, man.
I think that, yes, I agree. It kind of reminded me, and I never really got deep into the show, but there's like Dead Like Me, where it's kind of like you take over for the Grim Reaper or you're part of a team or something like that. I thought that was, I've seen it before, but I thought it was an interesting take on this. I love this guy's dead and she's just like, listen, you can run all you want, but like here's where you're going to end up. So you might as well just come with me anyway.
Yeah. We have an established character, main character that has been doing this for a long time. It's not her first rodeo. The audience is looking at it through the lens of this dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, reading the entire volume, I'm like, this guy's the main character. I'm invested.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the nuances with him later on and whether he is or not, but I appreciate that. But in this, he seems like a main character, you know. After a back and forth, he realizes that he has to go with her. He is dead. They go on the River of Styx. I love the explanation. I love the subtlety and like not making a stance on religion or not making a stance on like politics. It's like, hey, you can call it whatever you want to. I've been here before. I've been here 1,000 times. Whatever you need to call it, it works.
This guy is the every man though, because
he's
like me. I'd be asking if I'm like this calm transition into the afterlife.
And he's not like a creep or a weirdo. No. He's just like a regular dude. And his story is he was going to a bar to meet a girl that he fucked up. He loved her. He messed up. He was going to tell her he loved her. He got too drunk. I don't know if we've all been there before, but we've all been to you and I have been in the situation before the death. Like we've all been in the situation where we go and talk to the girl. We just didn't get to the point where we die. But He's an everyman. He's not a sleazeball. He's not a criminal. He's not like a murderer. He's just a dude that died, and I appreciate that so much, man.
The most he has to account for is the fact that he was drinking and driving. That's it.
Yeah.
This, I appreciate how many questions he has, and because, like you said, she's been doing it for a long time. She's like, listen, this is a different department. You're not supposed to be asking me.
I'm just gonna get you to point A to B. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get you there. But I would be the same way. I'd be like, but like, what's this, this, and this? Like, dude, can you wait? I'm like, I can't wait for shit.
No. Especially because you and I are both, I won't get into our religious backgrounds, but we're both people that have done a bit of research on the afterlife, right? And so in this instance, he's like, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? And she's like, listen, man, sure.
It's kind of whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. She's like, sure, man. This is such a short travel in your existence of death. Like, you can call it whatever you want. People call it everything.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
Yeah. And we've also both been disgruntled employees that have dealt with people. So it's also relating to her. Like, let's just get this. Come on. Can we just get this over with, please? And so I so appreciate that. And they get to the afterlife, and I immediately think of my first memory of what I associated with the afterlife was Bill and Ted's Bogus Adventure, where they get to the afterlife, and it's just like this long stare, and everyone's kind of like waiting to go. And he still has questions, because I would.
Yeah. I thought of it more like Beetlejuice with the numbers.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of that. It was prettier, like, in my head, like Bill and Ted, too. But he's like, yo, don't leave me here, man. I thought we had a connection. She's like, nah, bitch, I gotta go back to my room. I'm off.
Yeah, I got things going on. He grabs her for a second and does some good sleight of hand. You see her. What I like about this is there's like the placement, the zoom in, and the payoff.
And it's so good that it's, you don't realize that that's what's happening.
Notice. Yeah.
But when you look back, it could have happened.
So essentially she put these sides are like, you can turn them into batons. Basically she shrinks it down, puts it in her front pocket of her jacket. And this guy like grabs her, is like, what about this? But he's like sleight of hand artist. So he steals her scythe.
Yeah. She going down the elevator and she goes to grab it and she realizes that it's gone. She meets with her two best friends, essentially, which is like a lot. It seems like a heavenly locker room of like Reapers, but she goes to meet her best friends, which I think are just, it's so great to have varying centuries of characters. You have our main character who is sort of ambiguous. She's a outlet for the reader. She didn't have any like generational characteristics or anything. She just seems like a normal lady. And then you have this
apple bottom.
Yeah, except for that booty, because I don't have that. But you have the dude that's obviously like a rocker.
Yeah, 80s hair metal kind of.
Yeah, hair metal rocker. Then you have the guy from the 18th century. And those are her best friends. And at first I'm like, I immediately think about indie stories and I'm like, oh, these guys are going to betray her and it's just going to be like this betrayal thing. And I have such an appreciation that these, spoiler alert maybe, but these are like genuine friends in the afterlife.
Yeah, they're just people.
Like I am so relieved that there was no Game of Thrones, someone trying to get over someone. These are her genuine friends. And they're like, we died. And, you know, they talk about life not ending when you die. These are people that are like, hey, you're my only family. And I loved that so much, man.
Yeah. One thing we learned in this issue is that among her compatriots, she gets asked this question at the beginning, like, how did you die? But among her compatriots, she's the only Grim Reaper that doesn't know how she died. She has no recollection of her past.
Yeah, the guy that we're reaping at the beginning of this is like, hey, if you tell me how you die, I won't ask you more questions. And she says, I don't know. And that's kind of how that is. And then her friends are like, wait, you told them that you don't know? And essentially she's like, I got to go back and find that guy.
Yeah.
Will you guys help me? And they go to help her, which I just, I have an appreciation for that, man. Like we get so many stories that we're used to The Walking Dead. We're used to Game of Thrones. We're used to Last of Us, where everybody is out for themselves. But in this, they're genuinely like, nah, man. We're friends. Britt, you need help. Like, we live forever. Whatever. Fuck it. We'll help you.
Yeah.
I appreciated that so much, man.
One other reveal. So we also see that the guy steals the scythe because he's trying to visit his ex. She can't see him. So the living can't see the dead.
Depressing.
Yeah.
Because she's like with her boyfriend. He didn't say that earlier. He just said that he's going to the bar to meet her to profess his love. And then he goes up, stands outside her apartment, and she's like doesn't even think about him. She's in a normal relationship with her current boyfriend. And she has sort of like that tingle at the back of your neck, like, oh my God, I saw someone outside. And he's outside. It's super depressing.
Yeah, like yelling her name.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the moral of the story, kids, is that no one cares about you. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just have a best friend, dog. That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think about, it's so terrible. I think about my friends sometimes more than I think about my significant other, which is not good. As far as like, if Nicole asked me, and it's because we live together and we're married, if Nicole is like, can you do this for me? I'm like, God. But if Lex is like, hey, can you do this for me? I'm like, yeah, bro.
Same.
Easy. No problem.
Same. I mean, I would also do whatever my wife needs.
No, yes. I'm going to grumble. I will do it.
But I always will grumble. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got to grumble. You got to put that
in. For sure. I will always grumble.
We also get an interesting reveal of this character. When she gets pissed off, she has like a skeleton face, which I thought was a cool detail.
Dude, yeah. I loved it, man. Like, first of all, they show up. How scary is that? You're a ghost. And you're like trying to hold on to your life, Scrooge style. You're holding on to the last aspects of your life. And then these three Reapers show up outside with these giant scythes. I love that there's not any like distinct shape of the scythes. I like that they're all different. I love it. And
yeah, it's very cool.
When he runs off with her scythe, she changes into this like skeleton face, because we all think of Green Reapers as having like a hood and skeleton. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah, it was cool because it wasn't straight up just like a skeleton face either. Like, it's so stylized.
And she still has her hair, and she's still like her body. And even the hair metal dude, her friend, is like, ah, don't do the skeleton face. I hate that.
Yeah.
Which we know that they all have that ability to do it, but she's like more emotional.
This story up to this point has a really good payoff, because we established like 2 pages earlier that the living cannot see the dead.
Uh-huh.
But she's chasing this guy. She corners him. She's about to get her scythe back, and then a cop catches her arm.
Did you see it? Did you like anticipate that at all?
No.
Dude, caught me off guard, and I was just like, damn.
Yeah, and she's obviously surprised.
Yeah, you got me. It was a good story. It was like a good story, relatively original up until then. But when that happened, I was just like,
yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. And even then, it's just like, he lets her go, and everyone is kind of taken aback. Even the dude that she's beaten down, they're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. And that cop basically treats her like she's a crazy person, because she's yelling at the ground.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to Tria. I don't know how you read it.
Yeah. Yeah. Adira.
Adira. That's how I read that thing. Okay. I like how every issue has an epilogue, though. Because
it's cool.
It actually pays off. This first time I was like, why is there an epilogue in issue 1? But then it pays off as like, there's only one or two pages there's only one page in the epilogue every issue.
It's enough to establish a new character without.
Yeah, but it adds
part of whatever the story.
It adds sort of the gravity of the story, which I thought was a good payoff.
Yeah, and this one we're introduced to this other character, and we're also, she's kind of, you can tell by the way that another character is speaking to her that she's kind of higher up in the levels of Grim Reaperdom.
She seems like the boss. Yeah,
Yeah, and this character's like, well, we have a problem.
But not just death, because
right,
our character, Jessica, establishes in the beginning that no one meets him.
Yeah.
No one talks to death. And so I feel like that's a very important characteristic at the very beginning they established. But we meet like this middleman, Adira.
Yeah. 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 She's mid-management.
Yeah.
And she has somebody say like, oh, Jessica Haro, our main character, has been seen by the living. It's like a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's never happened before.
She's doing a bad guy narration. Yeah. She's the bad guy. Grim, issue number two. Simon, take it away.
Let's talk about this cover and this other thick girl on here, this thick skeleton face girl. I don't know who this artist is, but please.
The covers are so good.
Draw me some more thick girls. Grim, issue number two. Jessica Haro finds herself trapped between the worlds of living and the dead, something that no other Reaper has ever experienced. Just what makes her so special? Can she make her way back to the afterlife? And what exactly is going to happen now that she can walk amongst the living?
I love that each issue, and if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, you know Simon and I have stories and things that we're trying to put out. Outside of that, I love and I'm inspired by this. So they have like an interlude, the issue, and an epilogue in every issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever read a story that's done that successfully, at least. Yeah. Because we get sort of it was so short and so impactful that you don't even think about it. You just kind of like read it and it's just like, damn, what was that? And then you're back to the main story. I don't know. I was just like, I realized that this wasn't part of the main story. I was confused, but I was also like, damn, I need to know more.
What, the Dia de los Muertos thing?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was like, sure. I thought one of these characters was Jess at first.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know quite what it was.
And then when they bumped in this character, I saw his big meaty lunchbox fist, and I was like, oh my god, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I went to college with this guy.
Yeah, so they kind of established earlier, you don't want to be touched by anything red.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, their sides, when they're crossing the River Styx, like, you don't want to be touched by anything that's highlighted in red.
Yeah, he's got those big meaty lunchbox fists.
And he seemingly has no size limitations. There's a character, he's wearing a hood, he's like a...
He's like 13 feet tall.
Yeah, he looks like the Grim Reaper. He's got a skull head, he's got a cloak, arms and hands, but a rib cage.
And until recently, we've talked about a lot of the episodes, if you've listened until now, our appreciation for art, and we'll talk about it at the end. But that outside lining of color, not using a black outline, they use red in this. It's a game changer, man.
Yeah, it does a lot.
I never even thought about it until this show and like breaking down issues. Like, it's a game changer. Just that panel by itself of like her dainty hand with the corsage on it, and then his big meaty lunchbox fist with the red outline.
Yeah.
To me, that's a great panel. There's no words. It's just like, I get the everything that's about to happen in the next couple page or next page. I get the same emotion from that panel. You get like humanity and you get that like darkness. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, there's this. The artwork is really great so far.
It's top tier, those next two pages, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the illustrations are really great, but the coloring and the splash and everything, there's a lot of splash, like back painting. But
basically, we don't know about this character yet.
We don't know anything other than that he is mass murdering people at Dia de los Muertos. Just by touching, like, he's just in the area.
And even then, it's just, like, touching his cloak. Those next two pages, whatever. 34, if you're reading the volume in 34, 35, it's emotional because these people are celebrating De La Muerto.
De Los Muertos.
Yeah, I'm not Spanish. My wife's Spanish. They're celebrating the dead.
And that's the thing. They're like, yo, they're going to come out and hang out with us. We're representing them. They're going to drink some beers. And this guy's like, nah.
Yeah. Well, it's like I'm the misconception. Yeah, yeah. The misconception is they're here for the fun times. This guy's like, no, you want to see death.
Oh.
And he just disintegrates people to the bone.
And the characters that we get, it's like an interlude to a big production. It's like we are emotionally invested in this couple. And she's like, run, run, run. Aubrey, I feel, no, actually, I love you. They turn to dust. And even then, the ledger is in balance. Because after all of that, he's like, the ledger must be balanced. And it's just like,
must be balanced.
What?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Huh. How are you feeling about issue number two, man? I know we just talked about, we just dove deep on the first two pages of the issue.
Well, what I find interesting is how humanized a lot of these characters are. Like,
yeah.
They're crossing the River Styx again with this lost soul. She gets her ship back. She's talking about how she doesn't know how she died and she just wants the answer. So she's going to go and ask this person again. But we run into this, she's going to ask Adria. We run into this issue when you're reading a lot, especially things that don't have established history, but like where we're seeing the first time she's ever done this. She's been around for a long time doing this. Yeah. And seemingly this is the first time she, and maybe not, it's kind of implied that she's been told before, or it is heavily implied. But she's like, I didn't get the answer I wanted when I asked Adria how I died the last time. So I'm going to go do it again. I'm going to annoy middle management until they give me the answer I want.
I agree. But I think the catalyst is her interacting with reality.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah.
What I love about issue number two is that I'm a person that loves rom-coms. Mm-hmm. I do. No shame in that. I love rom-coms.
Good stuff.
My favorite movie of all time is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Harry Met Sally is good. My wife and I watch it every New Year's. It's our New Year's movie. But How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is my favorite movie of all time. I'm a sucker for rom-coms. And so I automatically thought, like, oh, this dude's a main character. It's going to be a love story. Blah. I appreciate so much that he wasn't.
Mm.
He was more again, of a...
Again, they fooled you twice. You think he's going to be the main character in the first one. And
he was more of a plot device to get her to like realize she needs to know more about her life.
Mm.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that he's gone. Like, he establishes the narration of like, French black guy, do you know how you died? Hairband, you know how you died? And they're like, yeah, we do. But she doesn't.
Yeah.
I love it, man. And I also love her skeleton face. I think like transforming back and forth is freaking great.
Yeah. Yeah. Not being in control of that.
We also learned that Adria, whatever her name, she knows more than she's letting on. She's the bad guy. We get that. Because she's like, oh, everyone else is freaking out about her, you know, acknowledging and reverencing the real world. And she's like, no, I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. You're suspended.
Yeah, she takes away her side.
Everyone else is freaking out about it. I also like her side, or not her side, but her assistant is, I can't think of his name.
It's like a Shakespearean.
But he's like, yeah, he has the Shakespearean outfit, which I think is great.
Yeah, the weird frilly collar and stuff.
Yeah. I like it. I like the aspect of the afterworld being like these reapers get taken, or the option of being a reaper. They get their own little space because the rocker is like jamming out, and there's a record place here that I go to called Waterloo, which is what I think about when I think about this guy rocking out. But you also get to take people into your own space. So there's not a traditional like heaven or hell. We get like River Styx, where those people are getting punished. But then you have like normal people. They kind of get their own space.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate that.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't notice it at first. There's a Mars Volta album cover.
Yeah.
I love the Mars Volta. There's also a David Bowie. He's holding a David Bowie album.
I saw that French one. Guy. That's the one I noticed.
Uh-huh. Some good stuff in there.
So, what would your sidebar? What would your they get their own space? They talk about like, hey, this is my space. Jessica, you never invite anybody to your space, which I would assume that's going to allude to a future issue. What would your space be?
This is it right here.
Yeah. My space would probably honestly be your room too.
It would be my room, but more like everything you could ever imagine.
My room would probably be the library
of books.
My space would probably be the Library of Congress, where they have like all the books.
Yeah.
Because yeah, they have like all the comic books, and I also like to read regular books too. So that would probably be like me just sitting in the Library of Congress.
Every once in a while, regular books are good.
Nicolas Cage would be there, and he would say, Lex, we're going to steal the
Independence. We've got to steal the Declaration of Independence. One of my favorite things about this issue is because I see what we're kind of introduced to is that there's a lot of bureaucracy in the land of the dead. And they go to like this records area, and it's a lot like in Control, and they have like a tube system, but it's like anything you can imagine where there's like record keeping. There's like this pneumatic tube system. And they go to this grand hall, and it's just all of these tubes with all of these records. And all you have to do is like touch
a tube, yeah,
and your records will be shot down to you.
Even before then, our main character Cheska is like, "We're gonna break into the records.
We're gonna break into the Declaration of
Independence. We're gonna steal the Declaration of Independence. Death."
Yeah,
and her friends are like, "Yeah, fuck it. We don't give a shit. We'll do whatever you want us to do." But the distraction is like the dude singing a song, but he's already done that before. She's like, I told you last time, bitch.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that. And our friend, I can't remember his name. French black dude. Marcel just touches one of the tubes, gets his death. He already knows his death. We've learned that he doesn't want to relive it because it was so traumatic.
Right.
We learn that he died in the arms of his loved one. And he says, hey, I just touched the thing and it happened. She touches it. She gets, it only says JH though. His says Marcel and it's his whole name. Marcel de Beaufoy or whatever his
name. Yeah.
But hers just says JH.
Yeah. There's too many letters for
Jessica.
It's really interesting. Like she opens this pneumatic tube and all these like purple butterflies come out and they kind of obscure sight for her. They envelop her.
Yeah. Her complete life and world just gets enveloped with blackness. And go ahead, Tom, talk about.
Oh yeah. I was going to say she sees. So most people see their death, but the only thing she sees is. And at first I thought she was the one giving birth, but it's established.
Yeah. That she I wanted sees to know what you her thought.
Birth. She sees when she was born.
It was written and illustrated very well. Mm-hmm. So black backdrop, you get the iridescent colors and the flashback.
Yeah.
Right. Shit. I can see her. Look, it's a girl, Jessica, but it doesn't say the girl's Jessica. It plays like a double entendre thing. Like she could be talking to Jessica.
Right.
Or she could be naming Jessica. And in my head, I'm like, oh, this is clever. Like I'm trying to figure it out. But then I know like this is part of the story. So I try to like not think too much about it. Jessica, we should show her father, which is weird.
Yeah.
But it also plays as like Jessica, we should show her father, not like Jessica comma. We should show her father. So it's written pretty, that's pretty good in my opinion. I'm like, I see. You win.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
See, we,
but then it also seems like she dies.
Yeah. I thought that's where she died. I thought she was the one that gave birth.
So we don't know about Jessica's death. But, oh, this person dies. So where are we at? We also get the backdrop of these like creepy ass fucking goat eyes at the end of
that. Yeah, it's like weird reflections or something on them. Yeah.
Yeah. We get these weird ass goat eyes. I told you to trust me. I told you this would accomplish nothing but pain. And then we get this fucking gross Lich King Courage the Cowardly Dog character.
Yeah. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
The last part that we see there is Adira. She kind of intrudes on her wish. One interesting thing we see is that she also has a skeleton face, which is kind of a foreboding to the rest of the story.
It's like, like half, though.
Yeah. But the epilogue for this particular issue is that we get this character. We don't know who he is. The red character.
Fred Flintstone foot.
He's got the cankles. But he is crossing the River Styx without, or whatever you want to call it, as they say, without a boat. Like, he's crowd surfing on the punished souls.
It looks good, man.
It's cool.
Then we get sexy
Reaper. Yeah, handsome ass Reaper. He's got a cool like axe thing going on.
I will say, you guys listen to this podcast for the trade reviews, and I initially, we did a year, Simon and I, and I was like, I didn't know if people listened to the trade reviews all the way through. I learned this past year that people listen to our podcast and legitimately listen to our bullshit takes on current pop culture. They listened to issue on where we're at. And I really appreciate that. And I'm going to really try to break down those issues and put them on YouTube to where, like, if you want to listen to issue one, here's issue one of Grimm. And this is our thoughts. Read it and listen to issue two. It's hard to do it like when we're reading because we read the whole thing. But I just want you guys to know that I'm going to do a conscious effort of like breaking it up.
Cool, man.
With that said, that leads us into Grimm. Issue number 3. Jess's excursion to the world of the living yields great consequences for her. Jess's excursion to the world of the living.
Got it?
Yeah. I wanted to read it first without you doing it first. Grimm, issue number 3. Jess's excursion to the world of the living yields grave consequences for her boss. Imposes some strange, intense penalties. However, it will take more than that to keep Jess from breaking the rules, especially with the mystery of why she alone can travel between the worlds motivating her. Living, death. She's a Reaper. Gasp! Why can't she do that?
Yes.
I can't read. Also, if you were following along, I cannot read. Simon, I had a lot of tangents
tonight. Huh?
We had a lot of tangents tonight.
Oh, tangents. I didn't understand.
Simon hates my guts. Simon, what do you think about issue number 3? We get a lot of reveals.
Yeah.
Sexy. So,
The beginning of this is pretty interesting because we see a character that's basically Adira, but we don't quite know, but we're pretty sure.
Yeah, she's sexy. That
it's her. Yeah, she's got that sexy demon thing going on.
This issue, this book.
Thighs, yeah. Oof.
This book. Yeah. It's no stranger to thighs.
Got me on the thighs. But it's funny, we see her at the beginning. She's like this very powerful character. She's got horns, she's got like cloven hooved feet.
Yeah, it's Sumer, Mesopotamia, 500 BC. I've actually been to this area. I don't want to like flex on like how well traveled I am, but like I saw her once. But she is Sumer, Mesopotamia, 500 BCE, and so she, not an alien, because they don't ever say that, but she's like a creature.
I mean, she's like a demigod type thing. I mean, she's what they're worshiping.
Yeah. It's hot, but man. It's what we're trying to get at.
She's it's hot. Interesting, though, how muted she looks.
Compared.
Again, we're not quite sure if this is here, but comparably, yeah, she's just like a short hair blonde, like Ellen haircut blonde woman.
Compared to our wives is what I was saying.
We finally get a reveal, kind of who this like red skinned death hooded character who's traveled across the river Styx, who he is.
Yeah, in the last issue, the assistant, the Alfred of the group, says the end is awakened.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to Adira as a comforting character for our main protagonist, as in, like, she tries to protect Jess, right? And she makes it seem like she has her best interest in hand. And this character is like, oh, hey, the end is awakened. And she's like, oh, it's Atira is like, oh, it's perfect. We can kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in a narrative way, it adds such a, like, what? It adds such a level to the narration that I appreciated. And in this issue, in the last issue, the end is crossing the river Styx, like Simon mentioned. In this issue, he gets there.
Yeah.
He reaches absolution or whatever. That. Yeah. And they have a back and forth, but I thought was so good because you have like various stories in afterlife or death or people that deal in death where you will have a genie will grant you a wish.
Racist.
But it's, yeah, I didn't. Okay. You have a genie that will grant you a wish, but it's like a twofold thing. Like if you press this button to get $1 million, a million people die. It's like a twofold thing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is like, hey, you want to get Jessica Haro. I won't stop you, but I have an offer to make you that could be beneficial for both of us. And he's like, no. And it's cool because like the characters that are supposed to be non-threatening to the Reapers are sort of encroaching on the page. He's like, no, I know how your deals end. Like, it's a trick. You'll promise me one thing, but it ends up being, it's always beneficial for you. And the characters that Jessica Haro earlier says they can't hurt you are encroaching on our page. I thought that was cool, man.
Yeah.
But she talks her way out of it. She's sexy.
We get another view of our characters. This is after they've been caught. They were looking up their history or whatever.
Yeah,
that's where we left them. Now they're like in a purgatory type, just sterile environments, just white. There's no background. But that's quickly interrupted as the end busts through that facade.
This is just me. And I know it doesn't make any sense. But when I read stuff like this, I read it as if I'm the main character. Simon's the white guy, and then our friend Jeremy is the black dude. And so I read this, I'm like, oh, these are me and my friends trapped in the void. The void. And this is exactly how it would play out.
Yeah.
But then it gets crumbled, because the void is supposed to be the prison outside of, like, life and death doesn't exist. So it's torturous, because it doesn't even exist.
Yeah, it's like nothing.
But then you have the end, which is what we think of our antagonist is. And it's cool because we see Reapers aren't necessarily tied to what we can relate to as far as Jessica Haro, rock star, 18th century black dude. We see a guy that's in metal garb, knight's armor, gets incinerated. It's forever.
Yeah.
And Reapers all time.
They're interesting because they almost turn to stone when the end touches them. So the end's character design is really interesting. I know I say interesting a lot, but he's got like we said, like Fred Flintstone legs and like meaty arms.
I got thick feet. So when I saw those thick feet, I was like, yo.
But he's got like a skull and ribcage.
Giant so ribcage.
Kind of cool how they combine those things.
He disintegrates everyone that he grabs, but when he grabs Jessica, your creature, your actions have created an imbalance. And he starts to like disintegrate her, but it doesn't happen. Which is, I can't remember that guy's name, but he's like
Shakespeare.
18th century. I want one of those collars so bad.
Yeah.
And he knows more than he's let on. He saves them. They disappear into sort of this like narrative escape. Like, we get it. Like, this is the situation. There has to be a narrative escape because the end is the end. You know, they should all be dead when he's there. I think that character realizes, like, oh, you're actually more than what I thought. He specifically works for death, but since death hasn't been around, death records. Since he works specifically for death, but since death has been gone, he works for Adira, which I'll tell you, man, I didn't understand. Payoff was good.
Yeah.
The payoff was M. Night better than M. Night. But they get to Death's castle. He says, listen, I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on, but we got to find Death. You guys have to figure it out.
Yeah. This whole time they basically say that you don't see Death, right? But Death just isn't there right now.
And Jessica's like, yo, Death isn't here, right? She figured it out. Death is gone. And then our Shakespearean character is like, yeah, you're right. He hasn't been around for a long time. And that's kind of where this power struggle happened. And she picks up his scythe and that Shakespearean character, I can't remember what his name is. I wish I did. But he was like, no one, that's part of the puzzle. No one can activate it. And as soon as she touches it, it activates.
Yeah.
What'd you think? Did you figure it out at that? And that is?
I knew that they were related, but in my mind,
yeah, same.
I thought that the reason she couldn't remember her origin is that she was like,
I thought she was
reincarnated.
Damn, dog. We're the same person. I thought I was like, oh, she's Death. And he didn't want to tell her she was Death because it was like a overarching thing. I'm like, don't remind me who I am. I'll figure it out when I need to, type thing.
Right.
But then when he said, how is it possible? And she's like, bitch, I don't know. This book did a really good job at adding an antagonist that didn't have a lot of depth, that didn't need a lot of depth.
His name is Vincenzo, by the way.
Vincenzo. But the antagonist is like, she related to the real world when she couldn't have, and it activated this primordial being that had to adjust the ledger. I thought that was a great bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't quite understand what he's trying to balance, but he's trying to balance life and death.
Yeah, and every time we reference him, he's like, Jessica Harrow was a Reaper that acknowledged existence. And that's it. We don't need like a deeper meaning than that. It's like T-1000. We don't need like, he's a bad guy. In my head, it's a bad guy. I got to kill it. I appreciate that. They get away. Vincenzo sacrifices himself. And he says one of the great lines ever. One of the greatest lines ever. He says, I'm already dead. And a turtle slumber doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah.
Sacrifices himself. Dies. Damn. Sidebar. Before we go to the next issue, we get an epilogue. 777. We're in Vegas. 777. Death. I don't want to say this is death yet because I have to talk about this later. But it in the epilogue, it's like, that's it. Give it up. That's better, baby. Come on. And then fuck. And he said, this place kills me every time. Who the hell would want to come here? Epilogue. Right?
Yeah.
You think that's death.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, oh, it's death. But later on, when we get introduced to Death, we also see this character.
Right.
So I'm like, what? Who is that?
Yeah. WTF.
Where are we at? Issue number 5?
Issue 4.
Ooh.
All right. Grim, number 4, with her very afterlife at stake, Jess must confront a dangerous figure, raising questions about her own death. Now a fugitive, Jess needs answers and is running out of options. Luckily, a new powerful scythe might be the key to deciphering this whole mystery.
So they land in Vegas.
Yeah.
Vincenzo's dead. Adira knows the stakes at this point. What do you think about issue number 4? That's a good issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's great because it, I mean, there's a lot of key moments in here. Another time she interacts with a human. This time that she interacts with a human, there's like this just enough space, like a life and death moment where Death can communicate through a mortal, which is pretty cool. Kind of like a drop box for a message.
Yeah, she like saves this chick's life. And instead of just making it a, she saved your life, they say, you killed her for a second. Which was crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah, just from touching her and the way that she saves her, she's about to get hit by a bus and she uses her powers to like make her phase through the bus. But as she has this like secret dialogue with this girl as she saves her and Death communicates through her, she says, Death says like, meet me on, you know, on floor 13, we'll have pie. Like, if the Inferno. So he figures out this meeting place. They go, they don't quite know what they're in for. And then they get introduced to Death, essentially, which is just like a standard looking dude. Like
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, he does look like Sam Elliott. That's what I was gonna say. And he kind of looks like he's wearing some kind of like ankle monitor.
Yeah, I thought that too. When he explains it because he's like sacrificed himself. They're like, how would you give X, Y, and Z up to a deer? And he's like, I gave it to her.
Yeah, yeah. Why would you let her take it? It's like, no, I gave it to her.
Gave it to her. We'll talk about that in a second. What'd you think about issue number 4, though?
Well, I mean, it's good to crack that case.
Yeah.
Kind of note. But it's funny because we
didn't crack the entire thing, though.
Right. But you're expecting, like, with Death, it's something like the end. You know, something scary. Grim Reaper, Hood, whatever.
Yeah. I agree. You expect the end to be the character that they talk about, being like, this is the end that we don't want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grim, issue number 5. The truth behind Jessica.
Sorry, before you get to that, there's a quick epilogue where Adria basically tells the other Grim Reapers, like, oh, all this is a result of
Jessica.
Jessica, not the end. Like, she frames her, so.
Yeah, because she talks to Adria, tells the end, I'll handle it. And he says, no, I'll handle it. And you kind of get that back and forth, like, oh, I'll just, obviously they eluded you already, so I'll take care of it myself. And you get characters like the twins, like weird characters that I don't even think in the next issue we even acknowledge, but they get covers of.
Yeah, yeah. More Reapers, like mafioso type. You
know, And so, Grim, issue number 5. The truth behind Jessica Harrow's mysterious death and her connection to the Grim Reaper is finally revealed. But how does this connection to her unique abilities and the ancient force known only as the End? The epic first arc of the breakout hit of the 2022 concludes. Not reading that again. I'm sorry. Let me reread this. Grim issue. This is number 5. Grim issue number 5. The truth behind Jessica Harrow's mysterious. The truth behind Jessica Harrow's mysterious death and her connection to the Grim Reaper is finally revealed. But how does this connect to her unique abilities and the ancient force known only as the End? The epic first arc of the breakout hit of 2022 concludes here. Simon, what'd you think?
I have always loved the mixing of different iconographies. And one of the things that we see here is, and that it's explained in the first couple of pages, that Adria and Death are brother and sister.
Siblings, yeah.
And he has established as like the ruler of the underworld, but she wants to take over. So she raises this army of lost souls, and he's got all his Grim Reapers and stuff. And we see her. This is the callback of the blue skinned lady with the cloven hooves and the horns and all that.
Yeah.
And we see them fighting, but she eventually gets defeated and he cuts her wings off and makes her into what we see today, like this humanoid form.
Yeah.
Just to equal her out. But this is where we also learn that, like, she didn't take it from him, all that. He
well, and then he also, yeah, he also feels kind of bad for it. He's like, my sister would do anything to destroy me. Flipping her wings, giving her no power, she gave me no choice.
Mm-hmm.
He, let's just say, Jessica Haro is the daughter. When I saw it, I was like, damn, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's written it well enough to where I was like, okay, oh no, I'm mad at it.
It's still a surprise. Even
yeah,
if,
I'm not mad. Know, I'm
you're
not
like, mad. Oh, of course.
It looks like Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
You handsome bastard.
Yeah, you 80-year-old, 100-year-old handsome bastard.
100-year-old handsome bastard. Yeah, so I think that caught me off guard. Well done. Well done. Megan to look like Sam Elliott is a win. You know what you're doing. But he essentially isolated himself, and it's like sort of romanticized. In my head, it's like, damn, that's deep, man. Because he's just like, I've been Death for so long, and it's been my job to do that. But I have no aspect on like what it means to live.
Yeah.
And my sister wanted it so bad. And I love her. So it's like, I'll sacrifice myself. I'll experience living. You can experience ruling what you want to do. With a caveat, because he also knew how his sister was. So that's why he had like the, my scythe could only be accessed by my blood type thing. Smart, but it was like, he couldn't judge Death absolute because he could only, you know, he only knew Death.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, it was great to me. I think that like the relationship between them two was a little too much. Like he was like, I'm your, and she said, oh, you're my father. And then it was like, they have the father-daughter relationship.
Yeah, for to happen that quickly. But I guess
first of all, I have a father-daughter relationship with my daughter, and she hates my guts. So that shit doesn't happen as easily as one conversation.
You just have to go missing.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter would appreciate me a lot more if I died.
Yeah.
What'd you think about issue number 5, man?
I didn't think we were gonna get like a fight between them.
Anime fight.
Yeah, we get like an anime fight between Death and the End. And I thought it was cool, but I don't like how Death became like Sportsmaster with his skull face. It just looks a little odd with the rest of him being skinned.
He kept the rest of his skin, so it was weird. But what about the guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the same thing.
I thought that was, before going into this, I thought that was Death. I thought he was.
It is.
I thought that he was locked into the casino.
Yeah.
But we get this dude that's just like walking outside of the fight.
He very well may be Death, though. Like, that could be a projection of her father.
Could be. Could be. He loses every time, though. Every time we see him, he loses. He loses in the slot machine. When we see him, he says, fuck. I fold. I guess my luck's not on my side. And then the big battles happen. The big battle. Maybe it could. You're right.
He's definitely losing right now.
Yeah, it could be him. You're right.
So, yeah, we get their fight. And
so the end is this character that Death always in history has kept in check. They have the Reapers in their collected area, and Death is a character that the end wouldn't dare approach.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. He's like, if Death was here right now, you wouldn't be here. If Death was here, you wouldn't dare come over here. Like, that's the thing. And so they really play it up like Death is here. Death right. is the father of Jessica Harrow. Spoiler alert. Which just adds to like a zillion other questions that never get answered.
Yeah.
But he essentially beats Death. The end, not Death. That's a great splash page.
The end is kind of like Spawn.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of chains, stuff like that. He aims for the end, aims for Jessica Harlow, but it stopped.
Death takes the brunt of it, and he brings himself and the end into the abyss, as it will. And even though we don't have any real connection with Death and Jessica, she says, Dad!
Yeah. Well,
he says, I mean, we get like a page or two, but
I mean, it's like the only connection she has to anything. So,
yeah, I mean, I get it. It hurt. He says, I hope you know what I meant when I said you are worth it, Jessica, which is true. He knew the whole time. It wasn't like he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He knew the whole time she was there. That was the deal. That's why he was there.
Right.
Her, though, she was with her aunt and she didn't know what was going on. I don't know how I feel about these last couple of pages, though. What do you think?
There's certainly something where
Death dies. Death is gone. Adira's left mourning her father. Or Jessica's left mourning her father. Her aunt Adira comes in and says, what have you done with Death?
And steals the scythe.
Takes the scythe and is super villain mode. Hey, you did this. Bye. You're gone. You're stuck here for the rest of eternity. You and your friends that were actually like really, really good friends and didn't anything bad. And they left. What do you think?
Well, one thing, so it's interesting. Obviously, there's a lot here and I'm interested in continuing this. But one thing that her dad talks about earlier is that her mother is a human. And
oh, we're going epilogue?
I'm already there. Well, no, that's not an epilogue. That's from a previous issue.
He says that in a previous issue, right?
Yeah, so he says that your mother was human, whatever. So that's kind of why Jessica is skirting the line between living and death, because she really is. So again,
she was born.
Getting into the semantics of it is like, how does that even work?
Yeah. She was born and her father is dead. Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end of this. Adria gets her powers back, seemingly, because she grows her wings back. She's got the scythe. She's the big man on campus. And
it explains why she can use Death's scythe. Because earlier they say, like, only a relative can use it.
Right. And she kind of leaves. She leaves Jessica and her teammates there to deal with that.
Jessica, me, and Simon. But in the epilogue, there's a prison. And they're screaming out, mail call. There's something for you, inmate. And she says, no one ever writes to me. And at the end, it says, I don't exist. But if you read the letter, It says, Ileana Haro, which is the mom of Jessica Haro,
mm-hmm.
who Death had a baby with.
Death had a baby.
Let's break it down, man. What'd you think, son?
It was definitely, I don't know, I liked reading it. It was, and
let's
it's,
pull
it
out,
was
well, a, to be fair, let's pull out our chart. That helps.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll get into a rating here in a second. But I mean, as far as the story, it was really nice because it was an original thing. Boom Studios and Image. Last year, we did a lot of Image, and Image and Boom both had great stories that were super original, whether they were a continuing series like this one or just a shorthand series. Like, they were so original. And I feel like this one, though it has ties and there are stories like it out there, I enjoyed what we had.
Yeah,
of it.
I agree. I got about halfway through and I was like, this is a story we've read before, but it feels original.
Yeah, and that being said, I mean, we go through a lot of stories, so there's some, you know, I've read like last week's, really care for a lot, and so, you know, you get through a certain amount and you're like, damn man, I just do not want to read this anymore. But this one, I thought it almost reminded me of Devilman a little bit, but like, you get to a certain point and you're like, damn, I want to keep reading this. Yeah. Like, this one is that, the latter.
Yeah. I agree. You and I are both artists. You more than I, but you and I are both artists. So I want to know, from an artist standpoint, what do you think?
I think, and I don't know how the duties were split up, the drawing themselves, the inking and the drawing, really well done. But the colors do a lot here, and I don't just mean like the regular colors, but there's a lot of other stuff put in, a lot of graininess, a lot of like brush strokes, things like that. Not just I'm coloring this picture, like a lot of work at the backgrounds, things like that. So
I agree. And I'll take it even further. And I was looking at some of the lettering and I was like, I appreciate it, because there would be common folk, Jessica talking to her friends, straight text. And then there would be like Jessica talking to Kira, whatever we call her. And it would be like slanted. It was just like, you take the narrative to a whole nother level, even with like slight things like that.
Yeah.
Art wise though, when I first got into it, I was like, ah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I get it. It's big, heavy strokes. But then as I got more into it, I was like, I can't do it.
No. Yeah, that's, they all start with the confidence of like, I could definitely make this comment.
I could do issue one. But then issue two, I was like,
yeah, yeah.
Nope. You passed my realm. Go ahead and grade it, Tom.
I'm just going to say, for what this one is, I'm going to give it like a G2. And I think that,
I love it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good story, and it makes me want another piece of toast. Like, it makes me want to read further. So
yes,
it's not like, it's hard to say at this point. It's not like perfect, but it is.
Let me get my grade, and then we can talk about that. I'm gonna give it an H1. Mm. I'm not mad at it. I was surprised by it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when issue one came out on the stands, sold out. I mean, everywhere. And it wasn't something that was on my radar. So it was just like, I'm a very self-conscious person. So I'm like, oh, I missed it.
Yeah. What did I miss here? Yeah.
Well, in my head, I'm like, it sold out. So I went to my comic shop, and the guy that runs it, the manager there, he was like, yo, Lex, you didn't put any pull. And I was like, it wasn't for me. I didn't know what it was. Yeah. It was like, if I didn't know about it, like, it wasn't for, if it sold out, that's fucking dope, man. And in my head, I was like, he told me, he was like, yo, you missed it, man. It sold out. And I said, well, me and Simon are reading we'll read it on the show. And like, that just, to me, it adds it to my list. I read more books with you than I read Spider-Man. I read like all the general shit, but like, I read most stuff with you. So I was like, oh, that's perfect. I'll add it to the list.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I missed it. I want to spend $85 for it. No, I missed it.
I'll read
it. I kind of miss the sequential, like, I kind of miss reading things like Spider-Man sequentially. So that's why I do appreciate, we will read like,
it.
Our...
We will read it. I wanted to ease you back into it because, like, last week we read, last week was heavy. Last week was like real life to me.
Well, I was just going to say, I like, that's why I like our Patreon, and for those listening, that's why I like our Patreon show Thick Cut so much, because I love the episodic nature of the,
yeah, bitch, the, if you're not subscribed to Patreon, you're a bitch. No, I'm, yeah, kidding, man. No, but like for our main show, that's why I was like, we read something heavy, which I wanted to read. I did want to read it. I'm not even putting that out. I wanted to read it.
I wanted to read it. It maybe. Was, yeah,
it was real life. It was popular, but I also know you and I like more fantasy stuff.
Yeah, man, I like my fantasies. I like thick ladies.
Yeah, I don't like real life. This just sucks. Real life sucks.
Yeah, real life is the worst.
I'm glad you intend. You know me. Every time I recommend a book, I'm like, damn, man. If I don't want to ever recommend a book, this time it's going to be like, this, I hate that shit.
This book had just enough questions and answers. So,
but at the end of it, were you like, that was a good read?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
Thank
yeah.
you.
It ended very quickly, and I feel like this isn't a negative, but I feel like it ended, and I was like, oh, okay, like, we have answers.
No, I was the same way. No, I was about issue 4. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed in the way it ended. I was just expecting
it was good.
All of it. I wanted everything right now. I don't want to keep reading. I want to know everything.
Yeah. And that's not a slight to the book.
That's like, impatience on my part.
Yeah, that's us. That's us. We review books every week.
Yeah. Because I'm I'm never going to read this again. That's really, I'm like sad because I know I may not read the rest
of it. Yeah, we do need a second volume show. Because you and I both loved Seven Secrets.
Yeah, man,
and that book ended.
It's over already.
It's over, and I was like, "Damn, me and Zombie should just finish it." We should just finish it.
Who wrote that book?
Seven Secrets, Tom Taylor.
Tom Taylor, that's it. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Also, I was like, Bitterroot just ended, and I was like,
"Damn, yeah."
Salmonash should just end Bitterroot. I'm going to end this episode, and then I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about what we should do. I like this book. I strongly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Pick it up.
To anyone. Sam, where can people find you?
You can find me on Sime_on_toast on Instagram. If you want to like some of my shit, that would be great. I would love it. You can go to SimonToyPortraits.com. That'll also lead to my Instagram.
For how long?
Like another year.
Oh, okay.
I pre-bought out that domain. Yeah.
Thank God, because I just bought the last. I just paid for the last or the next entry of our website. I'm just like,
I saw it. I saw it.
Don't. I was like, do it.
Did you change? This is a sidebar. I did change.
This is a sidebar.
Okay, you did. Good.
Yes.
But at any rate, yeah, that's where you can find me on Instagram. That's where I post a fuck ton. So,
yeah. And not this episode. Next episode, I'll talk about some of the things I have working on YouTube. I don't want to talk about it now. I got a lot of stuff scheduled and worked out, but I think I should talk to Simon about it first, and then next episode we'll talk about it. So,
talk about our OnlyFans.
Other than that, Wednesday poll everywhere else.
Bye.